Please, in your Bibles, to the book of Romans, the second chapter. Romans chapter 2, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1193. We'll be reading verses 3 through 11, the 3rd through the 11th verses of the second chapter of Romans. These verses we'll read responsively. The 10th verse is the text verse. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of this passage. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God? Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And verse 11 together, please. For there is no respect of persons with God. And let's pray. Bless now, we pray, O God, this service, and we pray, O Holy Spirit, for thy help, thy fullness of power, both upon he who comes to speak, bless our preacher, and each of us who are here to listen. Give us carefulness to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thinking tonight, Brother John, you still get your orange juice every Sunday night up in the baptistry? I get orange juice every Sunday night. I didn't know whether you did or not. I probably, years ago when I was baptizing Mrs. Leo, started bringing me orange juice in the baptismal dressing room. The baptistry should have it sent over, and all the men would bring it to me. I always drank orange juice. And then when I quit baptizing, they always bring it down. I walk out every Sunday night, walk out this door. And that's been years. I don't mean 2 or 3 years. I mean probably 10 years. I always get my orange juice as I walk out the door. Brother John, if you learn to be a good boy, maybe God will take care of you like that, too. But after a busy day of preaching and after having preached on Sunday night, it sure does taste good, and also that thoughtfulness always is good, too. When I see fine young men out here waiting with orange juice every Sunday night. So many little kind gestures like that. Brother Kennedy always gives me some arsenic, former orange juice, every Sunday night. And other little gestures like that make pastoring so much more delightful, make the Lord so much easier. And tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, the responsibility of privilege. Responsibility of privilege. The verse says, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. I want you to notice this now. Listen carefully. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Now listen again. Verse I read first says, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, also the Gentile. There's the privilege that God gave to the Jews. Honor, glory, peace to all people that do good, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But the verse before that said, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. Did you get that? Because God has given added privilege to the Jews, he gives added judgment to the Jews if they do not live right. When God gives privileges, he also adds responsibilities. And God said, I'm giving honor, majesty to all those who live right. To the Jew first. He said the Jew gets the first priority, first preference. He has that privilege. Then he said, For those that don't live right, I'm going to take care of you, and I'll give you anguish and tribulation and punishment. He said, I'm going to get to the Jew first. See? So somebody said, well, the Jews are the favored people. Yeah, they're the favored people, but they're also the ones who will get the biggest licking if they don't behave, too. Because along with privilege, there comes responsibility. Father, bless the message to our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that if you are a Sunday school teacher in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, did you know that you're supposed to be a better Sunday school teacher than most Sunday school teachers in most other churches? That's because you have more privileges than others. I probably shouldn't say this. I never have said it. But somebody wrote me a letter. I don't know who it was. But somebody wrote me a letter a year or so ago and said, Dr. Hiles, there's been a poll taken of fundamentalist people. And the question was asked of a cross-section of fundamentalist folks around the country. If you could belong to any church in the world that you want to belong to, what church would you want to join? And the church most often mentioned was the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And that man said to me, according to that poll, he said, this, your church, First Baptist Church of Hammond, is the, not only is it the most copied church in America, but it is the church that more fundamentalists in America would like to join, if they could, than any other church in America. Now, because that be true, that means that you and I, having been signally blessed by God more than others, are likewise more responsible than others. He who sees the most souls saved is more responsible for what he sees, what he does. It's impossible to overlook the fact that some people have privileges over others. Some of us have advantages that others do not have. Here are two boys. One of those boys is reared in a happy home. His mother loves him. His dad loves him. The other boy is reared in poverty and strife. The one boy has a privilege over the other. Here are two people. One person has many friends, and he crosses the path of people who are lifelong friends, and he has many friends. Where the other person lives in an area where he crosses the path of few people who would be good friends, and he lives a lonely life, one person is privileged over the other. Here's one person born in America, another born in the poverty of a Cambodia or a Haiti. I say that a person born in the United States of America is the most privileged person concerning nation on the face of the earth. I'm saying he has a privilege that someone born in Cambodia did not have. One is forced to get an education, and the other wants to get an education and cannot do so. I say some have find it easier to get an education than others. There's some folks in this room tonight who are just struggling to get your education, your formal training. There are others of you who found it easy. Mom and Dad send you a check every month, and they pay your tuition. I say that in that area, one is more privileged than another. It is easier for some people to become famous than others. Thereby, they are more privileged than others. In the Bible, it says, the kingdom of heaven has a greatest in the kingdom and a least in the kingdom, signifying that some are more privileged than others. In the parable of the talents, God gave to one man 5 talents. He gave to one man 2 talents. He gave to one man 1 talent, which signifies that some are more privileged than others. Our Lord Jesus promised the disciples, the 12 apostles, that they would sit on the 12 thrones in the kingdom, which means they were more privileged than others. Now, there's no way to get away from it. Take any area of life that you want to choose. And in that area, some are more privileged than others. Let's face it, some are more attractive than others. Some are more are stronger than others. Some are more prone to have the luxuries and the necessities of this life more than others. Let's face it. Now then, such is the case in the life of God's chosen race, Israel. God gave to Israel this book first, and through Israel, God gave us this book. God gave us our Messiah through Israel. And like it or not, I personally have no vendetta against Jordan. I love the Jordanian people, and to be honest with you, I think the Jordanian people and the Arabs are somewhat friendlier in the Middle East than the Jews are, or the people are in the land of Israel. But say what you want to say. That little nation over there has the hand of God on it. And God still is going to preserve that little nation. And by the way, they've got more gumption than all of the United States of America put together. I mean, there they are about to be pushed off in the Mediterranean Sea, and they say the whole United Nations, fooey on you, we'll do what we think we ought to do. Boy, I like that. I like that. That just sort of stirs me every time I think about it. They say, okay, Palestinians, you bomb our kids and send your rockets to our, just kill our kids. We're going to push you. If we have to push you out of Lebanon, we'll do that. Now, I'm sure that somebody won't agree with me tonight about that, but we'll still be friends, at least on my side. But whatever you say, if you know the least bit about this book, you know there is a nation on the face of this earth that has been uniquely chosen by God, and that nation will not be destroyed. When God said to Moses in the backside of that desert, he said, look at that bush. And Moses saw that bush that was in the fire. It was burning, but it was not consumed. God was leading Moses, calling Moses to lead the Israelites out of bondage, and he was saying, that little bush represents my people. They will be under fire, or in the fire, all of the life of the nation of Israel, but Israel will not be consumed. You're wasting your time, Mr. Brezhnev. You're wasting your time, Palestinians. You're wasting your time, Jordanians. You're wasting your time, Egyptians. You're not going to extinguish the nation of Israel. No way. Because God has signally chosen to give privileges to Israel that no other nation on the face of the earth has ever had or will ever have. Now, that's enough for that particular thought. I want to come down now to this privilege. Now, there are three things that accompany privilege in the land of Israel, nation of Israel. There are three things. The first thing is this. Their privilege was continually reminded them. They were continually reminded of their privilege. When God's voice spoke from darkness, he always reminded them that they were a chosen people. He reminded them that he had privileged them. When they wanted to be like other nations, and sometimes they did want to be like other nations, God let them hear the roar of the Red Sea as it was parted, and let them see the armies marching over on dry ground. When they wanted to be like other nations, God let them see the glare of Sinai in the desert sand, and God reminded them that the tablets of stone were given to a little band of Israelites. And God reminded them constantly of their privileges. Now I want to say a word about that here. I hear so often, somebody say, well, I'm in public life and I live in a glass house. Poor me. I just live in a glass house all the time. I oftentimes hear preacher's children, preacher's kids say, oh, it's tough being a preacher's kid. Oh, fooey on that kind of stuff. Fooey on that kind of stuff. You've been privileged. Oh, of course they're liabilities, but you let others talk about the liabilities and you talk about the assets. I mean, God constantly said, Israel could have said, oh my, we live in a glass house all the time. Folks expect us to be better because we got the Bible. And folks expect us to be better because we got the Ten Commandments. And folks expect us to be better because we crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. I'm saying God constantly reminded his people that they were privileged people. And I'm going to constantly remind you that you're privileged people also, and there's nothing wrong with it. God said, you're my children. I led you out. I gave you the Bible. I gave you the tablets of stone. You're my children. He constantly reminded his people of that. You know, there is an obligation that comes along with that. And that comes to our second thought. Not only did God say to his people, Israel, because of your privilege, I'll be constantly reminding you of that. And by the way, you ought to remind yourself of that. Now, somebody said, well, used to this, said to our kids at school, our kids out of having a battery. Somebody would say, well, your name is Hiles. You shouldn't do that. And one time one of the kids came home and said, Dad, I get tired of that. Don't you ever get tired of that. The truth is, if your name is Hiles, there are things you shouldn't do that the kids can do. Well, you say, preacher, all people are equal. Then you don't find that in the Bible. Now, God is no respecter of persons in the fact that God will save anybody that will come to Him and send anybody to hell that won't come to Him. But God does sometimes prepare a particular people for a particular service in His work, and they are privileged. And they ought to be thankful that they're privileged. Well, I tell you what. My dad's on the staff, or my mother's on the staff. Everybody's always looking at me, and it's not easy. That's not any way you ought to talk. You ought to say, thank God my dad's on the staff. Thank God my dad's John Colston. Thank God my dad is Roy Moffat. Thank God my dad is Larry Bullard. Well, let's don't go too far with this. Thank God my dad is Glenn Lively. Who else is over here? Thank God my dad is how many kids you got, Elmer? And thank God my dad is Sisson. Thank God. Listen, thank God for your privileges and rejoice. And God constantly said, I'm the one that led you out of, you're my children. I led you out of bondage. I led you across the Red Sea. I gave you a pillar of fire by day, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. I gave you the Shekinah glory. I gave you water from the rock in Horeb. I gave you manna from heaven every morning. I gave you special privileges. Somebody said, oh, I'm tired of being reminded who I am. Not me, buddy. I like to be reminded who I am. I'll tell you, there ain't nothing I am. I ain't glad that I am. I'm glad. Don't you ever get tired of being shot at? Now, hold it now. I used to jog a great deal. And, that's when I was 6 years old. And I still jog. I jogged 30 feet down an alley one night, not long ago. But I used to jog a couple of miles a day. And one night, I was out jogging, and all of a sudden, a bullet came between my legs. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't jog anymore. After I said to Him, I ain't going to jog anymore. And don't you feel bad having to have security guards and people always walking with you down the alley and living in a glass house? Don't you get tired of that? Let me tell you something, buddy. The privileges that God Almighty has given me make it worth 10,000 times whatever liabilities I have to have. Thank God! I thank God tonight I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I thank God tonight my name is written in heaven. I thank God tonight I'm a born-again believer and a member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I thank God tonight that God in some way has chosen me to proclaim the message of truth and has made me an ambassador of Christ. I thank God for it. And whatever little liability comes along with that magnificent asset and magnificent privilege, I just shout the praises of God for it. And so God said, now, I've chosen you, I've privileged you, and I'm going to remind you. Now, the second thing, and this is a big item. Number two, because of their privileges, Israel's privileges, her standards were therefore to be higher than the standards of other nations. They were always so often saying, well, we're no worse than the Moabites. We're no worse than the Edomites. We're no worse than the Ammonites. And God would say, you don't have any right to compare yourself to the Moabites. You have more privileges than they do. Now, I want to tell you something now. If your mom and dad led you, hear me, young people, if your mom and dad led you to come to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And if you have grown up in this church, and if you have been privileged to go for years to Hammond Baptist Schools and Hiles Anderson College, let me tell you something. The first place, you ought to thank God for it. And the second place, let me tell you something. More is expected from you than is expected from any other people on the face of God's green earth. And if you don't turn out right, listen,
Did you know it's worse for a young person in First Baptist Church to take dope than it is for the liberal churches down here on Holman, Liberal Row on Holman Avenue? Did you know that it's infinitely worse for a young person to drink a beer or take a drink if that young person has grown up in First Baptist Church Hammond and went to Hammond Baptist school system? It is 10 times as bad for you as for somebody who goes to some church where some little mealy-mouthed, air-tickling preacher stands up and doesn't warn him that it's wrong to drink. Now, you like it or not, you say, I just don't believe I ought to be singled out. You like it or not, when God gave you a privilege He does not give to others, God expects higher standards of you than He expects of others. You're separated from others by your privileges. Why, you say, Brother Hiles, or Mom, or Dad, other young folks are doing it. Yeah, but you are not other young folks. Well, you say, I'm as good as the other kids, but you're not the other kids. You have received a privilege. Listen, did you know First Baptist Church of Hammond ought to turn out 10 times as many preacher boys and missionaries and preacher's wives and full-time Christian workers as any other church on the face of God's earth? Now, I want to say this tonight. I'm a little tired of hearing folks say, well, I'm not going to serve God full-time. I don't feel called. Don't you blame God because you're not sold out. Now, listen to me. You have to be called of God to pastor a church. But you don't have to be called of God to be a principal of a Christian high school. God knows He didn't call anything we got here for principle. Now listen. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God without repentance. But you don't have to be called. You weren't called. You've been led of God to be our music director. You weren't called for that. You didn't see a burning bush. Now the calling to pastor this church is the divine call separate. But look, why don't you forget about being called to full-time Christian service, kids, and why don't you volunteer and see if God won't use you? Why, you say you sound like every kid in our church ought to be in full-time Christian service. That's a pretty good goal to shoot at. Now you listen to me. If God has placed you in these pews and in the hallways of our school, you have seen more people come to Jesus Christ than any other teenagers or young people in the entire world, and also since the church at Jerusalem. Now, don't you tell me God doesn't want to call a heap of our kids to go into full-time work. Now, I realize that all of our young people are not going to go into full-time work, but I do not believe that any young person who grows up in this church should ever make his decision about his life's work until he seriously considers serving God full time. And Johnson, you're not the average missionary in South America. You're supposed to be the best missionary in Brazil. Why? Because you have privileges others do not have. You're supposed to be the best principals of the grade schools in America. Nobody's supposed to do a better job than you do. You, Mr. Lively, are supposed to be the best principal in America when it comes to junior high school. Mr. Staub, you are under God to be the best principal of a high school in America. Why? Because you have privileges that no other principals in America have. And that goes for all you men. Best youth directors in this country are the youth directors of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. The best choir. Or the our choir. The best organist, pianist. Or the ours. Why? Because when God enables somebody to become a part of a work signally chosen by God and signally blessed by God, such as this work is, everybody in this church that holds down a job is more responsible to God to be effective than any other people anywhere. You listen to me. Some of you Sunday school teachers, halfway job. Please, I'm as good as the Sunday school teacher in the Presbyterian church down the street. I wouldn't say that out loud. nation Israel. Don't you judge yourself by the Moabites. Don't judge yourself by the Ammonites. Don't judge yourself by the Edomites. God said, I have a special judging for you because I expect more out of you than any other nation on the face of the earth. I want to say this too. You adults are sitting back there with complacent amens. Let me just go a step and say a word to you. Not only does God expect the young people of First Baptist Church in Hammond to have more obligation than young folks of churches so not so blessed as ours, but God expects the deacons of First Baptist Church of Hammond to be the best soul winning deacons in the world. And God expects the Sunday school teachers and the bus workers. Why? When God reaches down to a church like this and says, I'm going to pour out my blessings on a church and a matter of soul winning and growth, the lack of which no church has seen since the days of Jerusalem. You mark it down, anybody who has a title in this church or position in this church is supposed to give more than others. And I want to tell you something tonight. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of it. And I dare you to show me the preacher in America works more hours than I work. And there's not a preacher in America works more hours than I work. And that's the way it ought to be. Why? Because God has given me a privilege of pastoring what I believe is the greatest church since Jerusalem. And woe be to me if I don't give it more than others give it. Youth activities of First Baptist Church Hammond ought to be the biggest in the world. Youth choirs at First Baptist Church of Hammond ought to be the biggest and best in the world. Sunday school departments of First Baptist Church of Hammond ought to be the biggest and best in the world. And if you are not cheating to it, you are not right with your God. God said to Israel, glory and blessing will be to those that listen to me, that live good, to the Jew first. He said, I'll give blessing to the Jew first. And then he said, chastening and wrath be given to those that do bad. And he said, I'll get to the Jew first. And I'll bind you, ladies and gentlemen, if ever was a church in the history of the New Testament church movement where the people of God, I am so sick and tired of laziness. The three things I can't stand in a man. One is, I can't stand a pretty boy. There's nothing to me quite so abominable as somebody that thinks he's pretty. You know, you've seen them, always looking in the mirror. To me, that makes me want to puke. Nothing. Listen, God give us men, not models. Some of you guys ought to go to the barber shop instead of the hairdresser. Boy, I can't stand these little permanents. I mean, look like Shirley Temple. And some of you little Hammond Baptist High School sissies, effeminate, little old Hammond Baptist High School cuties, you can't wait till you get your diploma, Hammond Baptist, so you can get you a Shirley Temple. Won't you be a man? I'm saying that God said to Israel, He said, I blessed you like I blessed nobody. And then He reminded her of it, and then He said, your standards are to be above other standards. Did He not say it would be more tolerable for Solomon and Gomorrah than for Chorazin, and Tyre, and Sidon, and Bethsaida? Why? Because they had more privileges than Solomon and Gomorrah. Sunday school teachers ought to be the best Sunday school teachers in the world. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I teach in Hammond Baptist School. It's the best school teachers in America. Listen, you said, Brother Hiles, I'm not as gifted as others. You're not a good school teacher because you're gifted. You're a good school teacher because you've got character, integrity, decency, honor. It's not the one that teaches the best. It's the one that works the hardest, loves his kids the most. The only thing that burns me, it's for anybody. Now, hear me carefully. It's for us to have to learn from anybody how to do something. The whole world ought to learn from us. Now, I understand. We can't know everything about everything. And I think we ought to learn from others. But I think we ought to get our teeth while we have to. The honest truth is, our Christian school teachers ought to work more hours than any Christian school teacher on the face of God's earth. The staff of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, ought to work harder, harder, harder than any other staff in America. I tell our staff often, it shouldn't be how many days can I get off, but how many days can I stay on. Now, you sir of the house, you've been pretty rough. I didn't write this. But God said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first. Why? Because he said, glory, honor, and peace to every man that doeth good to the Jew first. It's time. Here in the summertime, some of you folks decided that the church is still going on in summertime. It's time some of you folks realize that the devil is still fighting. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. He's trying to destroy our kids, wreck our homes, destroy our young people, make impure our girls, take the decency of our boys. And if any church in the face of God's green earth or rise up and say, old smutty face, you're not going to do it. It's the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Why? God has given us more privileges. That's why. Some of you visitors say, you think your church is pretty hot, don't you? Now, I don't think this church is hot. I know it's pretty hot. I can't preach as good as others, but I can work as hard or harder. And I can preach longer. And louder. And I aim to do it. I may not preach but one more sermon. But listen, if you come to our church, you know Brother Hiles is preaching with more vigor right now than he's preached in his life. You know that's true. Why? Because the Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm a little tired of our Christian school teachers taking off like a bunch of field mice as soon as school's out. You still belong to a church. Your job is just not the job of teaching that school. And if that's all it is, pack your grip and find another place to teach. You've got a church. And I don't want anybody teaching in our schools whose first allegiance isn't to the First Baptist Church and not the schools. Most important institution around here is this church. If you teach a Sunday school class and also teach in a Christian school, your biggest job is the Sunday school class. It irritates the fire out of me. You have a Sunday school class and then school's out and Christmas. Phew. This is your home. You're supposed to be here just like steel workers are. I'm not against vacation, but I'll tell you what. 2 or 3 weeks a year is enough to be away from your church. Third thought. That's this. God said to the Israelites, he said, you are blessed more than I, more than others, so I'll continually remind you of your privilege. Second, he said, your standards will be higher than the standards of others. Now, hear me. Thirdly, he said, these privileges are given only for us to use for other people. God didn't give you a prettier face than I. Come to think of it, that statement's true by itself. I'm not very pretty, but thank God I'm the prettiest person on this platform. Or in the choir. But if your eyes happen to be the right distance apart from each other, and happen to be the same color, and they happen to have a beautiful hue about them, and you have striking eyes, you didn't make them. What's so hot about you, Puddinhead Joan? You didn't make them. They're nothing to be proud of. Now, a lot of you do have something proud of, because you put all that gook on yours and make your own. I've never understood this blues junk on the eyelid. He says, show me a scripture in the Bible. I don't have to. I'll preach what I want to preach.
Anyhow, you didn't make your eyes. If your nose is just the right spot on your face, you didn't do it. Not a single person in this room, in case you happen to be prettier than somebody else, you haven't got any right to be proud of it. But for the grace of God, you can look like Eau Claire. God, whatever God has given you, He hasn't given somebody else. He gave it to you in order that you may use it in service of other people. That's all God gave it to you for. Boy, nothing irritates me any more than some guy because he's got a few muscles to decide he's going to spend his life taking a stick and knocking a ball across a pasture over a fence. And that's his life's work. God never intended anybody to be a professional baseball player full time. Especially anybody at First Baptist Church Hammer. God's given you a strong bicep. He gave it to you to use, not for your glory, but for other people. God's given you a mind that is a little sharper than others. God didn't give it to you so you might put a Ph.D. on the end of your name. Some of you folks get a doctor's degree somewhere, preachers do, and before they get off the platform, they've already got their stationery ordered. You just call me Brother Hiles. That'll do all right. But if God has given you a little more educational prowess than others, God didn't give it for you so you could enjoy it and revel in it. God gave it to you so you could use it for other people. And whatever blessing or privilege that God Almighty has given you that He hasn't given to somebody else, God gave it to you to use it for the service of others. There's a crew on a ship going overseas carrying bread and other food to a starving nation. That crew ate the entire supply of food on the trip. When they got to the starving nation, there was nothing left to give the people. And that's what many folks are doing in this room tonight. God has given you some blessings He's not given to others. And you are using it for yourself. And that is sin. God's given me America. He's given me a Christian mother who taught me this book. He's given me churches that believe this book and pastors that had conviction and stood for right and against wrong. And I am accountable to God to use those privileges that God has uniquely given to me in the service of other people. I was stunned tonight. Or today, and I read the notice about Mr. Stamps, wasn't it? Stamps. Probably shouldn't tell this story, but I love it. He has two daughters, lovely young ladies. They're twins, Carla and Carlene. They came for their senior appointments. And one of them said to me, he said, Brother Hiles, would you pray that my dad will come to graduation? 52-year-old man. And I said, what? She said, don't think he's going to come. And I prayed. Now, hear me carefully. I got on the phone. I called him on the phone. And I said, Mr. Stamp, this is Brother Hiles, First Baptist Church of Hammer. How would you like to hear that on the other end of the line? Feel like Internal Revenue calling. And so he said, yes, sir. And I said, I just talked to your daughters recently. They're lovely girls. I said, Mr. Stamp, what kind of business are you in? And he said, a hang drywall. Hang drywall. Now, wait a minute. When I was in college, I hung drywall. God gave me the privilege of hanging drywall. I wouldn't have had an inroad to Mr. Stamps if I hadn't hung drywall. And I said, you hang drywall? I used to hang it too. When a preacher said that, he said, is that right? And he loosened up on the telephone, and we had the biggest conversation. We talked 15, 20 minutes. I told him why I quit hanging drywall, because I couldn't hang that on the ceiling. My head's not flat enough. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Hang drywall, boy, there's not enough cushion up there either. But and but there was then. We had a fine conversation. Now listen, I didn't know. Before it's over, I said, Mr. Stamps, I want to ask you to do me a favor. We talked about drywall and carpentry and the world. And I said, look, your daughters are graduating tomorrow night. I said, do me a favor. At least sit back in the back and come and be there. And he said, well, I'll give it some thought. Nice guy. I'll give it some thought. Now, I'm sure the reason to come to graduation, big church, you know what I mean. And sometimes folks that, you know, peons like drywall hangers and others, you know. I'm saying that for some of our drywall hangers here, and they're not smiling at me, so I didn't mean what I said, fellas. I really didn't. Anyway, time came for graduation. The young folks were lined up back here with their caps and gowns on. And two precious little girls came up with tears in her eyes and said, thank you, preacher. And I said, for what? And they said, that is here. That is here. Now, you see, God used that little privilege, the fact that I used to hang a drywall. And God used it. I didn't know that night they'd have a stroke, age of 52, and be in the hospital facing serious surgery tomorrow morning. I didn't know that. But look at me and I'll finish. I do not know all the privileges that God has given me. I know many of them. But whatever privilege God has given me, more than He's given other people, I want to use it for others. Because that's why God gave it to me. If there's a privilege that I have, that's why He gave it to you. There's some young folks in this room tonight who've gone headlong your own way towards your own life. And you know that God wants you to spend full time in His service. There are young men in this room tonight that God wants to be preachers of the gospel. And you know it's the truth. And yet, you shrink at it. And from it. Tonight you ought to say, with the grace of God, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I'm going to volunteer myself in the service of Christ. Heavy, heavy hangs over your head. If you take the privileges of life. Now, I know anybody in this house tonight could think of your negatives if you want to. Some young lady could say, but I was married. My husband left me. Okay, that's a negative. But how about your privileges? How about your privileges? You're supposed to use them for Him. Three things God said about it. He said, I'm going to remind you of it constantly. Secondly, I want you to know that because you have more privileges, you will not be judged under the same microscopic judgment of other nations. You'll have a judgment between you and me, and not compared to other people. And thirdly, he said, those privileges I give you are given you in order that you may spend them in service for other people. Young folks over here, your moms and dads, most of you, your moms and dads aren't deacons and choir members in this church. You can't say with Dan Johnson, I was born, my mother and dad. You can't say that. I'll tell you something. You can say, well, I don't have as many privileges as these kids out here do. Or you can say, and what you ought to say, you've got more privileges than anybody that lives in your neighborhood. And woe be the youth ministry, the youth department, the Christian high school and junior high. Woe be everybody in this church has anything to do with young people. If that little crowd of folks over there turn out more preachers than our A kids do, woe be every high school superintendent, Sunday school teacher, teacher at school, principal,
coaches, youth directors, all of us. Woe be us if that little crowd there has more folks in service for God than others. Now, you can shrink if you want to from it. And you can say, I'm tired of being in the limelight. You ungrateful fool, you ought to say tonight, God's been good to me. He's been good to me. And God has been privileged, or I've been privileged by God in so many ways. So I'm going to rise above the usual. And I'm going to spend my life in service for other people. Father, bless you.